This is Passing Judgment, a podcast about the law and how it affects you. I'm your host, Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson. Think of me as your personal law professor as we navigate the big legal questions of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers. Hey, everybody, it's Jessica. Big legal news today. I'm recording this episode on Monday, March 4th. The Supreme Court just came out with its much anticipated ruling in the case that deals with whether or not former President Trump is eligible for the election ballot. But of course, it raises legal questions far beyond that. So let's dig in. At the very first blush, it looks like this is a decision where the court spoke unanimously, that 9-0, they concluded that the Colorado Supreme Court was wrong. And it was wrong when it did what? It was wrong when it said that under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, the former president is not qualified to be the president again, that he's constitutionally barred. Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, as a reminder, is that post-Civil War era amendment. And it was designed to ensure that members of the Confederacy, that people who fought for the Confederacy and who were previously members of the government, couldn't serve again in office. And the Colorado Supreme Court, along with officials in Maine and Illinois, looked at Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and determined that the former president, based on the fact that he previously was president, that he was involved in the insurrection in the Capitol on January 6th, and that he's once again running for president, was barred under Section 3. Again, the court today said, not so fast, states, you're not the ones who can make that decision. So today's ruling actually is not about whether or not January 6th was an insurrection or the president engaged in an insurrection, the former president. It's about whether an individual state has the power to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And what the court concluded today is no. Now, let's dig in a little bit more to the details. This was a per curiam opinion, meaning that it was not attributed to any justice. It is an opinion attributed to the court, to the justices who heard the case, which was all 9 justices. And the top line here is that Colorado did something it couldn't do, that it made a determination as to whether or not a federal candidate, a candidate for the presidency, Donald Trump, was eligible under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and they don't get to do that. The court said the state went too far. Now, here's where the disagreement basically ends. The rest of the per curiam opinion, which was joined by the 5 most conservative, in my view, most conservative justices, said, and here's how Section 3 can be enforced. It can be enforced by congressional legislation, and it has to be congressional legislation specifically tailored to the questions raised by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Now, the liberal justices wrote separately to say that the majority went too far, that they should have just said, Colorado, you did something you couldn't, and end of the story. But instead, they said, and here's how you implement Section 3, that you need congressional legislation. One interesting thing I want to point out before I talk more about the 3 liberals, Justice Sonia Sotomayor, Justice Elena Kagan, and Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who joined in that concurring opinion, which is that there was another concurring opinion. It was less than a page. It was written by conservative Justice Barrett, Amy Coney Barrett. And what she said is, I agree that the majority went too far, that they answered a question they didn't need to answer, that they didn't need to say, and here's how you enforce Section 3. It's by congressional legislation. But I don't like what the liberal justices did here. Of course, I'm paraphrasing, because they amplified the disagreement. And what I want Americans to be able to take away is that we spoke with a unanimous voice and we all agreed that Colorado did something it couldn't. Now, this brings us to the Liberals' concurrence, which said over and over, the majority answered a question that wasn't asked. There was no question of federal enforcement. There was no question of how do we enforce Section 3? Is it by congressional legislation? And so why did they do this? And here's where I really quibble with the Liberal concurrence. If they have a specific concern about what the majority opinion is saying here, if the specific concern is that the majority opinion will mean that Congress is limited in the future in its ability to say that an insurrectionist is not eligible for the ballot, and here's exactly how, then the Liberals should have said that. They need to be transparent in this situation. So basically, I'm angry at everybody. I'm angry at the conservatives for going further than they needed to, but arguably some guidance is not a terrible thing here. And I'm angry at the Liberals for not just specifically saying, we think that the majority opinion would fill in the blank. And I think that that fill in the blank is answered by what they're really worried about is that the former president, for instance, could be elected. And then Congress could decide not to certify the Electoral College vote. But can Congress, after this majority opinion, actually do that? Or does this majority opinion say Congress can only act by legislation? So that's the disagreement. I think the court just absolutely missed the moment to speak with one voice. I wish they had spoke unanimously. I wish that they had recognized, just as they did in, I understand, a very different case, Brown v. Board of Education, that it matters to the American public that we see justices as judges who resolve disputes, not as politicians in robes who set policy. But because of the fracture lines in the court, because of the distrust in the court, they just weren't able to get there. So that is a quick summary of the case. We'll be unpacking it more along with all of its implications. I hope this helped. Of course, please always rate, review, and subscribe.